Alex Anthopoulos is vice president of baseball operations with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he joins us in Baseball Central. Alex, first of all, thank you for doing this today. How the hell does a team get 51 games over 500, Alex?
I got to tell you, it's I've been talking, you know, just a lot of people, when you talk to them, they certainly say, hey, you guys are rolling, you're playing great. And you almost think sometimes you take it for granted or you don't appreciate it as much as you should. I mean, I certainly feel that way. I mean, I've never, to be this many games over 500, to keep winning the way we've been winning games, it's incredible. I mean, again, not to make it like we're not impressed or, enjoying it, but it's been going on for a while now. And I guess you just kind of stop being surprised. And I think the other component, too, is, look, I got here, they had already won the division, 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Well, last year was the fourth. A good position, obviously, going forward. The expectations are so high here. For a lot of reasons. Obviously, the resources we have with ownership, really talented club. So, as great as this is, as great as we're playing during the year, it's going to come down to the playoffs. I mean, that's going to be the focus of the team. But you're right. I mean, night in, night out. I want to try to appreciate this room because I can't imagine in my career, I'll be part of a team, at least during the year, that's going to have a win total like this.
Yeah, Alex, now, whenever Dave Roberts were hired as the manager of the Dodgers, you sort of said, huh, Dave Roberts. But then when you watch and you listen to players on that team talk about Dave, and you watch Yasiel Puig looks to me like a totally different person, that would maybe have something to do with Dave Roberts. You know as well as I do, I've had a lot of managers. Managers aren't that big of a deal. But it just seems like from afar that David Roberts has taken this team to a whole different level. Am I wrong or right?
No, I think you're right. And I remember, he had just gotten hired. I just got on board, and we talked on the phone for about an hour, just philosophies, this and that. The energy he brings, he's upbeat, he's bright. The big thing, and obviously you talked about it as well, is there's a difference between big league coaches, managers, minor league coaches and managers. Just the responsibilities are different. In the minor leagues, you're trying to blend winning and development. The one thing I think, again, I learned it early on in my time in Toronto as an AGM and then as GM. Being able to connect with players, relate to players at the big league level, I think that's the barrier to entry to be a good manager. You can be great with the X's and O's. You can be as prepared as you need to be. And look, those are critically important as well. But if you don't have that first area where players buy into you and believe in you, and that's the same way with a coach. I mean, I've seen it over time. There could be coaches with the greatest knowledge in the world, the greatest content in the world, but they just can't connect with players. It's not going to go anywhere. And the one thing that Dave does is he connects with players as well as anybody I've seen. He's upbeat. He takes time. He'll nip things in the bud. If things are going on, he'll do it behind closed doors. He's not afraid to show emotions either. You see him in the highlights. He's there. He's cheering. He's jumping. But he's and guys, I think, connect with him. I mean, he's not that far removed from playing, and they love playing for him.
Alex, we know that Clayton Kershaw threw a sim game yesterday, I believe 35 pitches, roughly two innings. Any update on Clayton? I guess when you got a 51-game lead, he can take as long as he wants. Or not a 51-game lead, but when you're 51 games over 500 and you've got an 18.5-game lead, he can take an extra day here and there if he wants.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it certainly helps the position we're in. I mean, look, he's feeling good. He certainly wants to come back. I think, he's talked about wanting to get, some outings in September to get under his belt. So he's certainly progressing towards that now, and will be on track. But everything looks good. He's feeling good. I think it's just a matter of there's no need to rush, like you talked about. Just follow what the doctor's plans are. But everything's on time. Everything looks good. I saw him throw a bullpen a few days earlier. We had a few of us out there, and it's just, you just remark, it looks like Clayton, he needs to be built up and take his time, but we're very optimistic he's going to be right on track and he'll make those September starts that he needs to be ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, is there a formula for a team, a manager, an organization, when you have this big of a lead, you're going into the playoffs for the last month of the season? What do you do with everyday guys? What is the is there a formula, I guess you could say? Because, you know, you guys got a huge lead. You're probably not going to play everybody. But baseball's not like any other sport. You have to be consistent. You have to have reps over and over again. Is there a fine line between that?
Yeah, that's a great thing, because it's funny. We just talked about that with Dave in the office about 2 days ago, exactly that. The fact that we do have a lead, trying to prepare, getting some guys some rest. Try to find out a little bit more about guys. We have some guys coming back off the DL. We got Adrian Gonzalez who's going to be back soon here. And trying to blend all that in. But at the same time, Dave pointed out, which he's absolutely right, is we still want to keep momentum. We still want to keep our foot on the gas. And you don't want to lose that edge and that grind, because these guys are playing hard every night. It's a great unit. Obviously, when you're everything is better. But I do think it's a balance between staying competitive, staying, keeping that momentum, that flow going. I think Dave talked about that as well. So I think it's just try to blend it. But certainly the fact that we do have, a lead and, we're playing so well, it does allow us to maybe have some options going forward with still maintaining that we're trying to win every game.
You know, Alex, when I look at what the Chicago Cubs did last year, pardon me, and building up their team, a core of homegrown position players or players who were acquired from other organizations while they were in the minors, and then you go out and you add pitching, you kind of fill in through free agency or through trades. Are you guys kind of following a similar pattern with the Seegers and the guys you have internally? Is that almost a similar pattern, a similar approach to the Cubs?
I mean, it certainly can look that way just based on the guys that are here. But, I mean, guys like Corey and Cody Bellinger, those guys were here, and they're just great players. But that wasn't necessarily by design. I mean, our top prospect right now is a kid named Walker Buehler, who was a draft from the current administration here. And I was, we took him in the first round, and there wasn't necessarily a predisposition to rely on position players more than, starters, relievers, things like that. It's worked out that way, that we certainly have a really good core of bats. To be completely candid, I mean, it's a pretty complete team. Certainly, we're not flawless by any means, but, we feel like we have depth all over the place, and that's, credit to, a lot of different parts, scouting, development, and all that. But we haven't really talked about having a formula. I think it's just getting the best players you can at the right opportunities. When we acquired Chris Taylor last year, I don't think anybody expected this. I remember we were all part of the decision to do that. We liked the talent. We liked to take a shot on him. And to his credit, he made swing changes, worked with development. And, he had the ability and the talent, but sometimes some things develop as well.
Yeah, is Alex Wood as good as being 14-1 with a 6-0 record with a 1.72 ERA on the road, hitters hitting .150 with runners in scoring position on the road? That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, he's been, I mean, again, for a guy that started the year in the bullpen, and it was as much out of need, that we had a lot of guys under contract. We didn't have spots in rotation. Guys threw the ball well in spring training. And, I remember at the end of spring training, I mean, it tells you a lot about what kind of guy he is and his character. He had a great spring, and he was stretched out to start, and he knew he was good enough to be in that rotation. But he also knew that some guys just weren't going to adapt as well to the bullpen. And he said, look, I'm going to do it for the good of the team. I've done it before. I've had experience doing it. And he waited for his opportunity, and he was lights out of the pen early on, and finally he had an opportunity. But really, from spring training straight through, I got to see him last year for the first time, and he's so much better. The numbers are real. I mean, he's doing it for a long period of time. The stuff is outstanding. And the big thing with him is the competitiveness. Again, when you – from afar, you don't get to know these guys, but when you're around in the clubhouse every day, when you're traveling on the road with the team, this guy is a ultra competitor. And again, I think that adds an edge when you have stuff and then you have that other intangible component with your competitiveness that could take it to the next level and to put together the year he's having right now.
Now, I can remember when you were with the Blue Jays, we talked about, spent a lot of time talking about you, Darvish, and, some wondering whether or not the Jays were going to make a bid, if they did make a bid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now you're with the Dodgers, Yu Darvish is there. Have you had a chance to talk to him at all, Alex? And just what can you tell us? Maybe what can you tell us about Yu Darvish that in a short period of time you learned that you may not have known or suspected?
Yeah, that's fair. I got to talk to him. I wasn't on the road with the team. We had acquired him. He made that debut in New York. I was not on the road with the team. So when we got back home, I got to talk to him. His son's been around as well. And one, his English is much better than I would have thought. It's actually very good. Thoughtful, a very outgoing guy, easy to talk to. And, a lot of times when you get guys from other teams, one, it's great opportunity to talk about the organizations that they've been with, talk about players they've been with. I mean, I like to normally just try to talk baseball with these guys, talk about some of the guys. And you get a sense of how much they watch the game, how much they follow the game, things that they're in tune with, their baseball intelligence. I think it can really open up, a lot of avenues there when you get to have those conversations. And he's very sharp and very on top of it. And, I was very impressed. I mean, again, when you're scouting him, I went to Japan to see him, and the first thing that jumps out is how big he was and how good his stuff was. But being around him now and being able to talk to him, this guy wants to be great. And, I'm not surprised with the success that he's had. And it makes you more excited to have him now that you're around him day in and day out.